Amen and amen. All right, anybody have anything out of the Psalms that you just grabs your heart that you got to give away? You can't help yourself. We want to talk about it. Like our reading today in Psalm 72, David said he had something. That God, don't let me die without telling the next generation what you've done. How does God describe us? How does God describe man? Y'all picking on this? Y'all picking up on this as he's referred about man? How man is? In our fallen condition, without God's help, boy, we're a mess, aren't we? Look in 39. Go to chapter 39 in verse number 5. He says this on several occasions. I think in chapter number, chapter 39 and chapter number 62. We'll look at it as well. 39:5. Boy, this is a 39:5 says, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. Now notice that little phrase there. Certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor. A puff of wind. Y'all see that right there? You ever have to drink soap, boy? Why you look at your mama? Not yet. You don't want to. I had to drink soap one time. Not only drink it, but my daddy made me eat it. And then after I ate it, he said, then he had me drink Tabasco sauce with it. Well, I said something I wasn't supposed to say. That was the only time. And I don't even know if my daddy heard me say it. He heard that I said it. My dad, I can tell you to this day, I can testify to this day and not boasting in it, but just this, that my mom and dad has never, ever heard me say a slang word in their presence at all. And that's not how I always talked. I talked and with a bad mouth at various times around the wrong people. When I was with certain people, I talked like certain people. And I was in the Navy and I talked like a Navy guy. I talked like a sailor. But I didn't do it around Stephanie. I didn't do it around the girls. And as I was coming up, I never talked that away around my parents. And they've never heard me say anything before. Even to this day, you know, as a grown man, I'm not going to do it in their presence. And I don't plan to do it on anybody's presence. But my dad made me eat soap. He heard I said something. Then he made me drink Tabasco sauce. And he said, the only thing that was going to help it, boy, is if you drink milk. Now, he knew I didn't like milk. I hated milk. But I tried milk anyway, and that about made me throw up. So I was in bad shape. I said, give me more Tabasco sauce than food with the milk. But he made me eat soap because he heard I said something. See that, Carolyn? Y'all see these little bubbles? Those little bubbles represent us in our best condition. As light and as useless as these bubbles, that's what that idea is, a vapor. A man at his best, at what he does best, at when he's at his best, is like soap bubbles, like a puff of wind, a vapor. Man, how to grace we are a debtor, amen? Amen? Not just a man individually, but in reference to our passage says that we all together, if we put all our best together, if we put all our best state together, if we put what we do best together, here it is. That's about what it amounts to. Just some suds. In comparison to God and His grace. We need His grace, amen. More than we can imagine. You see, in our thought process, we don't, it's hard for us to fathom that perspective. But in reality, without God, without His presence in our life, this is exactly what we are. This is what we produce. Just a puff of air, a vapor. Kind of like this right here. This is about the extent of our life. They've said his life was a hand breath. Our lives, the length of them, in comparison to eternity. Y'all listen for it. There it went. Right? Y'all heard that? That's about what equates our life without God. Who wants this Dr. Pepper? I can't drink it. One cup? That's our life. It's just a vapor. In our best, what do you do best? What do you think about? What are you best at? Messing up? Forgetting things? No, really. What would you consider you to be at your best at? Something, it could be something, being a mama, being a grandmother, being a dad. I know most about light bulbs. I know most about turkey hunting, heavy equipment, moving dirt. I know most about administrative things. I know most about whatever it is. What is it? Y'all, what are you? Now, I'm not saying you the best at it, but what do you do best? At your best state, what is that? It could be you do best at encouraging people. Whatever it may be. What is it? Think about that for a moment. Your best thing is sports. Maya said his best thing is sports. Come on, y'all help me out. What do y'all think? I mean, really, just think about it.
My best thing is my mouth.
Your mouth?
I can get in trouble or out of trouble just the same speed.
With your mouth? With your mouth.
I made a living all my life selling something.
Well, that goes back to selling, you know, that idea.
Yeah.
Davin, you like selling?
Selling.
Keith, you can sell?
Yeah, talking to people, meeting them, seeing that close.
That's what you're best at. Finding out how to help the person that you can benefit them, and what they have can be a benefit to you. Not to harm or hurt or take or steal or anything like that. Just different people have different gifts. They're good at some things that other people won't be good at, but at your best. Anybody else? Now, sometimes what we think we're best at, somebody else may not think we're as good in that as we think we are. They may see another quality in us that they think that is really our best. But you know, those people don't always live with us. Those people are not with us all the time. A good take. She's at her best state and caring for people. Somebody else.
Typing.
You're a good typer? How many words a minute can you type? A bunch. And pretty accurate. Spell good. Don't need autocorrect. I confuse autocorrect when I'm typing. It don't know what to say.
Yeah. I was trying to spell something. Spell. Nah.
Could be teaching. It could be whatever it could be. You could be your best at being a little sister. You could be. You could be the best at remembering your birthday. Who remembers their birthday? Janet does.
Okay.
Not her. You know, a man at his, a person, when I say a man, I'm talking about in general, a person in their prime, a person in their peak. Some of us would say that our prime was a few years back. Some of us say our prime, we ain't hit our prime yet. We hadn't hit our peak yet.
But I think that's what it means when it says you go through different seasons. Because, like, I don't want to do the same. The things that were priority to me in my 30s, that's not my priority now.
Right.
You know.
So. Yeah, that comes with maturity, with age. You just, with everything, there are seasons to life. We understand. And even in the best of the best seasons, they're still, in and of themselves, a mere soap bubble, a vapor, without the presence of God in it.
Amen.
Without God being involved in it. And that's what the psalmist, that's what David is recognizing himself, that God, without you in my life, I'm nothing. Without you in my life, my goodness is nothing. At my best. At best, what I do at my peak, in the best seasons, or whatever season it may be, it's just a vapor before you. And my life is just fleeting. That's why he says, and he asked at other time, give us a heart of wisdom that we can number our days. Let me see my end. Let me see the fact that I am frail, and the only life that I have is a life that you've given me. And that I will look to you as the sustainer and the source of that life. Because we in and of ourselves, you know, it goes back to either I can believe God's message on these things, or I can just push it aside and say, no, well, that's just not the case. I mean, man's better than that. Man has more to offer than that. Man is better than just a vapor. But we have to look at it from the perspective of either I trust what God gives me, or I look at it from a humanistic standpoint and see it totally different. And from God's viewpoint, what we are without Him is nothing. Matter of fact, He even refers to it in, say, the book of Isaiah. He says, if you piled all the nations together, and you piled the best that the nations have, and you just accumulate it all and stack it up, and if you put it on the scale, it would measure out to about like dust on the scale. You don't measure dust. You don't even wipe dust off of a scale. Why? It doesn't make a difference. And that's how we, as human beings without God in our life, it all comes to nothing. It's empty. It's vain. I think y'all been going through Ecclesiastes. Solomon found that out, didn't he? Well, where did Solomon learn these things from? Of course, God taught him. He learned things from Bathsheba, but he learned a lot that he learned from his father.
Yeah.
And in the wisdom that David instilled. That's what David kept saying, what we read today in Psalm 72. You know, don't let me die until I pass this on to another generation. When I am old and gray-headed, don't let me depart from this world. So David, as a younger man, is looking at the rest of his life and says, I want to live in such a way that I help this next generation, that they know of you. They know what you've done. Let my mouth declare you, and let them put their confidence in you and not in themselves, not in me or not in man, but in who you are. And Solomon, after he went after wealth, after he went after women, after he went after wine, when he didn't forbid himself from anything, man's wisdom, he come to the conclusion of it all and he said, look, all that is empty. It's vanity. It's like soap bubbles. A man's all in all is to give place and priority to God, to fear Him, and to walk in His ways. That's where man finds his substance at. That's where he finds life at in the Lord. That's why David would say, look in 63. Look in Psalm 63. Going to be gone.
And including us. I mean,
yes.
And like you said, the only thing that we can do is give away.
Yes. What is not going to be gone in the end? Whatever God says, whatever God does, whatever God plants, that endures. And you see, if I have nothing of God's doing in my life, then my life comes to absolutely nothing in the end. Because as you look around, as Keith's pointing out, all this is going to disappear. All this is coming to nothing. If we live, meaning somebody lives in this area for, say the Lord didn't come back for another 300 years, there would be a good possibility that not one single item that we see here will be here anymore. It'll be just lost in the annals of history. Now, but what God's done in us and what God's done through us, what was done in faith will endure. Are you with me? But these structures, these bodies, are not going to last. And this is one of the reasons, I believe, why David says in verse 3 of Psalm 63, he says, because your mercy, your steadfast love, your kindness, your loving kindness is better than what? Life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Your loving kindness, your mercy is better than the next breath I take. Your mercies are better than life. Having the mercies of God is better than achieving anything else in this life. Amen. Being a friend of God is better than living life without God. There's nothing in this life that can supersede His mercies in our life, His loving kindness, His faithfulness in our life. And we want to come to that same conclusion as David points out. What did that do for him? Look in verse 1 of chapter number 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will what? I will seek you. I think that no doubt implies early will I seek you in the morning, early will I seek you through the day, because he's going to even bring that out in verse number 6. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. So I think what David is saying is this: early in the morning, you're going to be who I seek first. And when I close my eyes at night, you're going to be the one that I'm thinking about when I drift off in the sleep. And everything else that life has to offer in between, when I rise in the morning and when I go to bed at night, you're better than that. No matter what comes my way, your mercies over my life that I'm expecting are better than anything this life can offer me. That's basically somebody saying, I want my life to be consumed with you. I'm going to seek you early. I'm going to go out a day meditating upon you, and everything in between, I want it to be mine. But I think it even goes deeper than that, is not just seek God early, which is a representation of a man who seeks God early in life. Don't wait to seek God when you find yourself in trouble. Don't wait to seek God when things aren't going the way you thought they were going to go. Seek Him early. Seek Him early in life. That way He is more precious than what life can offer you. And you will close and start each given day in His presence, seeking His presence. Why? Because His faithfulness, His loving kindness. That word mercy is the word hesed. First time it was ever used in all the scriptures was during a very difficult time in somebody's life, and God showed them his kindness. Y'all remember a guy by the name of Lot? Who was Lot? Abraham's nephew, that's right. Where was Lot at when the angel of the Lord, when God entertained Abraham and said that he was going to destroy those cities around Sodom and Gomorrah? There were five cities. Sodom and Gomorrah are the ones that are highlighted. But what was happening down there? What was going on? And God came to Abraham and talked with him and said that he was going to go down there and destroy them. And what did Abraham do? Abraham started interceding, right? Abraham said, if you find this many. Every time he would mention that, I think Abraham knew that that would be a hard pressed thing. God, let's move that number down. And he kept getting down and he said, if you find at least 10 people in that city that are righteous, will you not destroy it? And God said, if I find 10 people, I won't destroy it. But there wasn't 10 people. And what did God send down there? He sent angels. He sent angels. And the angels showed, by God's grace, God was showing Lot mercy, kindness. And they took Lot by the arm and they drug him out of his house. They drug him out of his house. And they pulled him out of the city. And y'all remember they left, and while they were leaving, they told him, don't look back. Lot's wife, of course, she looked back. But we find in that's the first time this word is brought up in the scriptures, and it was all about God doing something that man wouldn't do for himself. It was something that would bless and benefit man in delivering out of this life, to deliver him out of trouble, to deliver him out of judgment and wrath, to deliver him out of the consequences that surround him. God showed him his kindness, his steadfast mercy, and his love, and he pulled Lot out of a place that he was determined that he was going to overthrow. That word mercy is something that we can't live in this life and then have anticipation of living with God in an afterlife without God's mercy. This drives God to lay his life down for us. This drives Jesus to give up his life on this earth and to lay it down to give us life that we can walk with the Lord and be delivered out of trouble. God's mercy is always a delivering work of God. It's to take an unworthy, suds of soap, people who's at their best state are just a vapor, and to rescue them from that condition because of his mercy. And David says, your mercies, Lord, are better than life itself. I want that mentality. I want that heartbeat in me as well. I want to recognize this old world we live in, our souls are parched if all we have is this world. As David said, my soul, what does he say in verse 1 again? I will seek you early. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to your power and your glory. Turn over to Jeremiah real quick. Jeremiah, watch this. Jeremiah chapter number 2. God refers to his people when they left him to pursue something else, whatever that else is. This is how he describes it. I may bring this up in the service. I had it on my mind. Look in verse number 13, Jeremiah 2:13. God refers to his people committing two evils. He says, for my people have committed two evils, things that have no value eternally to them. What are they? Number one, they have forsaken me. The fountain of what? Living water. David said that his soul thirst, it was parched in a land where there was no water. The fountain of living water. And this is the second evil that they've done. When they forsook God, they hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can what? Hold no water. So you leave, this is the picture, you leave a fountain of living water when we forsake God, when we just say, God, I would rather do this, I'd rather think this, I'd rather have this. God said we commit two evils. One, that is, we push him aside, but then we go to that which has no water in it that will sustain life. And it's not that it doesn't have any water. It's got water, but that water is water that's without God in it. And that water that is without God in it, we then get water that we pass on to other people that don't have God in it. You know, Scripture talks about Proverbs 11:25, he that water shall be what? Watered himself. And we are waterers. And if we are watering people with things that doesn't have God in it, that is not water coming from a fountain of living water. That's coming from a broken cistern. In anything that we design, anything we go after, that we fashion in our mind or we form that is without the presence of God in it, God says that's two evils. One, you forsook him, and two, you went to something that he wasn't in, and then you gave what you got from them to other people, and what you gave to them didn't have me in it. It was didn't have water, didn't have living water in it. You understand? And that's what David is saying here. My soul thirsts for you. Why? Because everything else, that this land that I'm living in, this world that I'm living in, is full of broken cisterns that you're not in, that you're not involved in. And if I'm drinking from them, I'm not drinking from you. And when I'm not drinking from you, I don't have anything from you, of you, to give away. And all I'm doing is pouring corrupted, poison, polluted water. Broken cistern not only leaks out water, but it allows bacteria and bad things in. You see, and we're not the waterers that God designed us to be. You follow with me?
Kind of like our situation here today. Whenever you lose water pressure, you know, like coming system, that's why they send out the whole.
That's exactly right. That's right.
Everything stays clean and going out.
Yes.
But when you slack off and take that flow away, just like
all that contaminant in that line.
All the contaminants start falling off the sides and it's bad stuff.
Yes, it'll hurt you. You start getting things that normally wouldn't be in it.
The way we are, you know, when we lose that focus of with God and the full flow with him.
That's right.
Bad stuff starts falling into us and we're not.
That's right. I had jotted this note in my Bible at some point. When we forsake God, we forsake him for something that is empty. When we forsake him, we always forsake him for something that is empty. It is empty of him. It may feed and fuel our flesh, but it leaves us dry. Dry of him. And unable to water others for him. So we water them with something that is contaminated or something that is less than him. That's why he says it's two evils. You forsook me for something less than me. And now you're going to give away less than me to those that you're with. And that's why we want to seek God early in our journey. Seek him early every day. And realize that, hey, what he has for us, his loving kindness. David said, Lord, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. For if I don't hear it, I'm going to be of no value to anybody. I'll be as useless as those that go in the pit. But show me the way I'm supposed to walk. And I'm going to meditate on you day and night. And when I'm laying on my bed, when I close my eyes, you're going to be my last thought of the day. And when I rise up in the morning, you're going to be my first thought of the day. Because your loving kindness is better than life. And anything other than that, listen to me, this is the thing. Anything other than that is forsaking Him for something that is less than Him. Amen. And I want to tell you, God wants to give us all, give it all to us. Amen? He wants that flow to be a full pressure in our lives to His glory. And to Him be the praise. Man, I need Him. Amen? Because without Him, I'm just suds of soap. I need Him. Anybody want to add to it before we go to the front? They're going to be looking for us. Maybe.
The last message that Chris Myers gave at FCA is that Psalm 39. A really long rope and had one end taped on it like that big. And on that rope was in our life and the rest of
it. Yeah.
I remember that really cool.
Just a vapor. So sharp. So sharp. And we can't help but see as we've been going through the Psalms, anything that is wicked is going to be what? Cut off. It's going to be cut off. You keep seeing that. The evildoer, the wicked, the wrong are going to be cut off. It's just going to be cut off. But those that are blessed of God, those that are meek, those that wait upon the Lord, those that are righteous, they will inherit. They will inherit all that is God's. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank You today for this time we've had. Thank You for these men and women and their families. We ask that You help us, that we celebrate You, that we seek You, that we call on You, that we delight ourselves in You, and that we continue to praise You, for Your loving kindness is better than life. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.